will be our last lesson here on shepherding a child's heart. It's kind of a review and a reminder here this morning. So a lot of, and again, I think overall these last, I think it's been 7 weeks that I've talked, and Professor Joey was here for a week and led a lesson, but I don't think what was said was anything new. I don't think what's been said or what we've read in God's Word has been anything that was, you know, wow, I never saw that before. It was just kind of a reminder as parents or grandparents what we need to do as far as our children. It's funny. Let me start with that. I know we don't have too much time here this morning, but you know, you always find it kind of, you know, how God brings things, you know, together, different, whether activities during the week or what have you. And I know this week as teachers, we were discussing on Friday an article that was written about a teacher that years ago, probably 30 years ago, this group of adults had this music teacher, and this teacher was very, very strict, very, you know, he was not only strict in how, as far as what he allowed in the classroom, but very, he wasn't pleased by much. He wanted his students to be the best. I mean, to gain praise, for him to say good job, they really didn't hear a whole lot. So he's kind of a old school teacher, very strict teacher. Didn't take a whole lot as far as when it came to discipline and different things. And many people would say he was very hard on his students. Of course, this is 30 years ago. Probably some things that he did or said probably would not go over very well in this day and age. But I guess what the article was trying to say was after 30 years, all of his students, he had passed away, and a lot of his students came back and sang and played at his funeral, and just how while they were going through it, yes, you know, they called him Mr. K. He was strict. He was hard on them, but many of them. And most of them did not go on to, professional musician or anything. Many of them were doctors, lawyers, different things. They succeeded in what they did. And many of them said it was because of that teacher. But in many ways, I think we're losing that in our society. We're losing the discipline, the strict, which I think is getting lost in many areas. But anyway, shepherding a child's heart. I mean, again, like I said, today more of a review and kind of go over, and I want your thoughts here as we go through this. When we first started, again, we talked about Proverbs 4:23, and keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And, of course, the KJV, ESV said vigilance. We need to be watching what's in our heart. Watching what we think of, what we see, and so forth. Why is that? Because from the heart is what we say or do. Usually what's inside of us, that's what's going to come out. That's what we're going to do. And we're the same way, and our children are the same way. And that's why we've got to be careful how we discipline. Why are we disciplined? Why are we correcting? Are we just trying to correct the behavior? And we talked about that we have to correct what's in the heart. Two relationships affect your child. Child relationships, the shaping influences. And then we also talked about the relationship to God. Of course, the shaping influences being different family values, family roles, struggles, conflict, history, response. We all had this growing up. And your children have all this growing up. But how do they respond? How do you respond to this? again, these are shaping influences in their life. And then, of course, life experience, and then how they interact with these experiences. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to how we should be raising our children. It's a 24/7 every day, not just on Sunday or, you know, at night or during, you know, a family devotion, but every day, all the time, we should be interacting with those, with our children. Of course, the heart is not neutral. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, talking about correction, talking about the rod. I mean, why do we correct or why do we have to discipline? Because our heart is deceitful. Again, there's two responses that our children will make. Either they respond as children of faith that know and love and serve God, or they'll respond as children of foolishness, of unbelief, who neither know Him or serve Him. And again, we are, as parents, here to teach them, to guide them. But there will be two responses there, two decisions that they have to make. And again, hard attitudes, direct behavior. Again, we can't cover up our child's sin. We can't cover up what our children are doing wrong. We have to always lead them to the cross. You know, show them their sin. Show them, hey, they're not sinning against Dad. You're not sinning against Mom. You're sinning against God. And to lead him. The child needs to see the need for a Savior. And of course, a change in behavior that does not stem from a change in the heart is condemnable. It is not commendable, it is condemnable. And that is, you know, what are we trying to change? Are we just trying to change how they act? Should they be acting right? Should they be listening, obeying, not acting up in class? You know, should they be? Yes, yes, they should not be misbehaving. But we've got to make sure that we are correcting, disciplining, getting to the root of that, which is the heart. Of course, we looked at Matthew 15, where Jesus looks at the Pharisees. And they, you know, they look good on the outside, but on the inside, not so much. Foundational issues of parenting. What does it mean to function as God's agent? What is the nature of your task? What is the function of discipline and correction? We talked about all these. Of course, we talked about this. Who's the boss? Right? Who's you know, you are. You're the boss. And who made you the boss?
Me.
God did. What's that, Brie?
Me.
Me. God put you in charge. God put you in charge of your children. I mean, you are God's agents. I mean, you are, that is, and again, it is, that's a big responsibility. It cannot be taken lightly. And again, talking about here in Deuteronomy 6, 7, all the time, teaching, training, directing, from the early mornings to late at night. And sometimes with the older, it will be later at night. You know, they don't want to talk in the morning. They don't want to, a lot of times they don't want to talk at all. But sometimes they'll start opening up to you, especially teenagers. You know, be 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, they want to talk. Is it hard to talk then? Yes. But we have to do it. I mean, it's just we are commanded to teach all the time. All the time. Not when it's just convenient to us. And again, this is a mandate. This is given. God has given this to us. It's not something that we should, I don't know if I should say anything. I don't want to step on their toes. I don't want to hurt their feelings. We're commanded to be a parent. That is a mandate. We have it. We can't take it lightly. And we must do it the right way. But it is God-given responsibility. Now, what is the chief end of man? We talked about this, discussed this. We're to glorify God. Isn't that why we're made? Can you think of a better reason or better why we're here? We're here to glorify God. That's why God created us. He created us in His image. We're to glorify Him in all that we do. Well, what a better goal to pass along to our children to glorify Him. And we've got to constantly be reminded of that while we're... Because we all have goals. We all have goals for our children. We all want them to succeed. We all want them to do well. We all want them to be happy, right? I mean, we're parents. We want our children to be... But the main goal should be to glorify God. Of course, we have to be careful and apply, make sure the goals that we want for our children line up with that and not just with the culture. Of course, embracing, how do we do this? What are the methods? And we talked about two different ways. Communication and the rod. Get too cold back there, Max? Okay? You're good? Okay. I just see the frost. I just see the frost on Renee's nose. But anyway. But there's methods, right? There's methods that we do, right? There's a method that we have to teach and to guide and to direct. And there's two ways that we talked about. First of all, we talked about communication, right? We talked about how objectives, behavior you see is reflection of the abundance of the child's heart, right? What they, what they do is from within. You want to understand the specific content of the abundance of his heart. That goes back to what? Understanding your children. You got to understand and know what makes them tick. I mean, what are their likes? What are their dislikes? Some of your children, they will tell you right away, right? I mean, they don't have they're opinionated, and they can let you know what when they're in it. But some of you have children that it's hard. It's hard to know. On the outside, everything might look great. They don't, they don't change their expression very much. But we must understand what's going on. And that comes with communication, talking, getting invested in their life, being a part of their life, and understanding who they are. Going back to that teacher, that article that we read about, talked about this past Friday. Even though that teacher was strict on his students, you could tell there was a relationship there. There was that bond that tied them. Was he hard on the students? Yes. Did he want them to do well? Yes. But there was that relationship, that communication but it's the same thing with our children. We must have that communication, that relationship, and we must understand what their issues are. Because there are issues. Of course, we need to understand our children. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. As a parent, how often do we do that? How are we we're displaying out of what I think is right? No, it's what God thinks is right. And of course, we need to understand what's going on in our child's life. We need to understand our children. And of course, we talked about 2 weeks ago and last week about the rod, about correcting, reproving. This is a parental exercise. It's what we do as parents and what we're commanded to do, to correct. It's an act of faithfulness. It's not easy to discipline. Right? If done the right way, it's not easy. It's not easy. If we're disciplined out of anger, if we discipline out of frustration, if we discipline because we lose our temper, no. No, that's not the right way to discipline. It's a thing that we take time, we take effort, it's a teaching time, but it takes faithfulness. It's a responsibility. Yes, it's a physical punishment, but it's a rescue mission. sort of rescuing their heart. And so we have a correction. But again, it goes back to the parent needs both. He needs both communication and he needs the rod. He needs the correction. He needs both. Too much communication and no rod? No. Too much rod and no communication? No. That only breeds rebellion. But you need both. Communication, teaching, and the rod. Appeal to the conscience. Correcting with a central focus on redemption. What do I mean by that? Correcting with a central focus on redemption. Why should we have a central focus on redemption?
Why don't we get back to where they were?
Sure. Why do we correct?
Because there's something wrong.
There's something wrong?
Change.
Right.
We have to focus on redemption because we have to be redeemed. Every child thinks, even if they've done something wrong, but they're still okay, even though they did something wrong, then that's a fallacy. They need to know that, no, we are not okay. If you're doing wrong things, it's because we're not okay. We need redemption.
And again, bringing them to the cross. I think I put down the children of Israel. We see that in the Old Testament over and over and over again. Where they were sinned, they were punished, but they are also redeemed. They have that redemption. That the communication was back with God. We saw that over and over again in the Old Testament. But turn with me to Matthew 21, and we'll end with this morning. Matthew 21. And talk about appealing to the conscience of your child. Jesus did this over and over again, and it usually was with the Pharisees. He did some with his disciples, but a lot of time in Christ's teaching, he did this. He would ask questions, or he'd talk in parables to get his audience to think. This is what I'm doing. They would ask him a question, and then he'd turn around and ask them a question to get them to think. But look in verse. Let's start in verse 25 here in Matthew 21. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. In verse 25, it says the baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? Verse 26, but if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Again, they were coming to him. What Pharisees were saying, well, who gives you the authority to say this? Who gives you authority to teach this? And now Jesus is getting ready to tell them a parable. Look at verse 28. It says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? What do you tell me in here? Who did what the father told him to do? The first son or the second son? The first son. The first son. Did he do it right away? No. But he repented. He changed. And did it. What did the second son do? Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm a good son. I'm letting everyone, I'm going to do it. But guess what? Did he do it? No. No. Look what Christ has to say. Again, Christ waited for the response. They said unto him, the first, and Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go in the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Now, how does this relate to our children? If we're not careful, we will raise children that are behaving, good kids on the outside. They're crossing, you know, they're doing everything they're supposed to, everything they're told to. Sort of like the Pharisees. But on the inside, just like the second son, he was going to do it. He was going to do it. He was saying he was going to do it. But you can say something all you want. Until you do it, it's not going to get done. The first son, did he do it right away? No. No, but guess what? He repented and he did it. He went out and did what he was supposed to. That's why as a parent and as we parent, it's not an easy thing. Obviously. Parenting is not an easy thing. But that's why we need to make sure we're reaching the heart. Reaching what? Yes, they're misbehaving. Why are they misbehaving? Should we correct it? Yes, we should correct it. But make sure that we're not just correcting the behavior. Make sure we're correcting the heart. And make sure they understand that when you correct them, who did they sin against? I wrote in my email, do they think they sinned against you? No. They sinned against God. Remember, you're God's agents. We're God's agents. We're commanded to parent. So we can't take that responsibility lightly. Well, let's pray and I'll let you go. Again, it's not too late. Sign up for our Christmas party. Sign up for that. You have the sign up sheet. And it's not too late to sign up for that. And I hope you all have a good week. I know it's busy. Y'all be safe. Eddie, I have faith in you. I know you can get all your Christmas shopping done this week. You can get it done. So, y'all have a good week. Sam, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Sure. And we'll... All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this study that we've had as parents. What a great responsibility we have, first of all, to you, to shepherd our children's hearts, to turn them towards you. I know as parents, that's our ultimate goal, is to have our children to be strong believers, to be born again, and to serve you, Lord. I pray that you would enable all of us in this room, as parents of either younger children or even grown children, to always point them to you first. Pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.